My name is Lisa Butkin. I work at St Martin's Practice, Chapel Town, Leeds, as a wellbeing coordinator, which is part of the social prescribing service. I came to Leeds in 1992 to do my nurse training with every intention of leaving Leeds. I am from the north, but I'm from over the hill, as they say, from Liverpool. When I first came to Leeds, I didn't know anybody who was from Yorkshire at all and ended up marrying a Yorkshireman. And now all my friends are from Leeds. So I've integrated myself really into the Yorkshire way of life. It's such a diverse community as Leeds. Whatever you want, it's here. You walk down Chapel Town Road, which is a good mile, heading straight into the city centre, and you will see every walk of life, young, old, every ethnicity. It is a brilliant place to be. But don't get me wrong, it has its hot spots and it has its black spots. There's a lot of isolation here. There's a lot of poverty here. There's a lot of educational needs here. There is a lot of health issues, people making choices which are probably not in their best interest. So there's a drink problem. There's a drugs problem. There's an employment problem. You see great wealth and you see great poverty. So it gets both aspects of it, really. We know that from research, the people that come to the GP service, the reason they give is not always the reason that they're here. They're here because they're lonely, they're here because they have lost connections, they're here because they don't have friends, they're here because they're tired, they're bored, they're skint, they're lost. We know that. The GP also knows that, but because of capacity they can't tread that path with that patient. But what they can do is refer over to me, who has more time, and is generally a lot cheaper than a GP, who can sit down with that person and say, look, we know that you've been coming to the GP for this, that and the other. Tell us why you keep getting these sore throats. Tell us why you keep having this pain in your chest. And 10 times out of 10, there's always a reason for that. You know, the pain in the chest is because of their anxiety. Well, why are you anxious? Because I'm frightened. Well, why are you frightened? Because I'm living alone and people keep coming to my door and I don't know what to do about it. Right, well, let's sort that out then. So then you won't get them chest pains and then you won't come to the GP service. I'm not a clinician, I will not give tablets, but I can assist in other ways. So if there's a need for a patient that's non-medical, I can find somebody in the community that has information on whatever they need. I can help you with your housing, I can help you with your employment, I can help you with your welfare, I can help you if you're lonely, I can help you if you're sad. If you don't have food, if you're living rough, if you've got a drugs problem, alcohol problem, I'm not an expert in any of that. But I know people that are. When I first started this job, I thought if I'm going to work here and I'm going to do the best job that I want to do here, I need to feel this piece of earth. I need to know what's going on here. So I put my shoes on and I walked up and down these streets. In this area, there's so many organisations that will help. And I knocked on these doors and said, we're starting this service, can we work together? Because that was the one thing that we knew that was missing, was the connection between the GP and the third sector going both ways. So where I work, we have a massive problem with males being lonely. I don't know whether it's a loss of the working man's club or employment or because men aren't very good at talking about stuff. I don't know what it is. But there is more and more men coming to the practice with various complaints that when we get to the bottom of it, it's because they're sitting there in the flats on their own, drinking too much or smoking too much or not speaking to each other for days. the isolation is highly significant. I have seen some horrible sights, but I've also seen things of the community actually pulling together and being funny and caring and kind. I've met a chap called Paddy, who is 66, retired, living on his own, used to work in security, and kept coming to the doctors every week, rang them up virtually every day. When he retired, he had working security dogs that he brought home. No one will go and knock on his door because of these dogs, they're terrifying. Paddy came to practice, and when we got down to it, we found that he really liked music, and he had about 2,000 vinyls in his home, but he didn't have anything to play them on. So what we decided was that we'd apply for some funding, and we bought a record player for the coffee morning at the Polish Centre. I said, right, Paddy, well, if you bring some of your records, you bring 10 albums to this coffee morning, we've got your record player. So we left the dogs, and he started to come to this coffee morning and played his vinyl records. Another man who sat there in the corner for the past 4 weeks, recognised the music, walked over and had that conversation with Paddy, just about records. Every Thursday, they meet for a coffee. He brings his vinyl and he brings his, and the pair of them talk about music for 2 hours. And that's all it took. You're not very complicated, you fellas. As soon as the hand went out for that handshake, I knew that that was it then. We were sorted. And while he was actually out, we got the dogs chained up, and then we got another group in who changed his step to his front door to a slope, and then helped put handrails and fitted his bathroom as a work room. Gradually, while he was out, we could crack on and get these other people to do all these aids and adaptations, which is stop him falling, which is stop him hitting hospital. Now he sees the GP less. And we can look on Paddy's notes and see the last time he spoke to the GP, and it was for something that he needed to do rather than something that he wanted to do. I mean, the record player thing was rubbish as well. It was like a really cheap one. It wasn't even a good one, but it doesn't matter, does it? So this social prescribing service is not a new service. This has been happening since the 70s. But it's not universal. The constraints are so tight, and the NHS is working under such pressure at the minute. We need to step outside. We need to incorporate other models, the social model, using what you've got around you. You know, choose your army. If a clinician's made a diagnosis and you do need that tablet, well, of course, take that tablet. But let's look at other things as well to support that process. That journey that you're travelling, and while you're helping yourself medically, let's build your life again. My satisfaction from this job comes from the little things. It's the tiny little thing. It's the GP saying, have you seen so-and-so? Because I've not seen them for ages. And they used to be here all the time. When I ring up and they're not in, that's a good one. When you ring them up, these isolated people, and they're not in, it's like, well, where are they? Where have they been? You know, but it means that they're not isolated because they're actually out. You know, they're on their access bus. They're going into town. They're meeting friends. They're doing something. They're just out. And to be out is kind of significant when you're not used to being out. I'm a realist. You know, yeah, the building is not brilliant. The patients are testy sometimes, and you can't always win every battle. But it only takes that one glint of sunshine for some to go, Lisa, this has happened. And you think, brilliant. You know what? All that stuff, it was just stuff. And this is what actually matters. This person ringing me saying, I've got a job, or I've been shopping today on my own, and I went and I didn't have an anxiety attack, or I crossed the road and I was fine. Just that, you just think, nailed, done it, brilliant, off you go. Don't want to see you again.